So all that AI stuff you learned, is it's all applicable today?
You didn't really learn like specifics. You weren't like, oh, this is, you know, obviously ChatGPT didn't exist. You didn't learn like this. Oh, my GURPS off again. You didn't learn about specific AI tools. You learned about the principle of AI, which is machine learning. So how do you represent the human ability to learn in a computer language or setting or whatever? So we would do things like, there's a thing called the Towers of Babel, which is like one of those problems you solve, you know, like move these three things to this thing without doing blah blah blah. And so we had to program that, but the purpose of it was to learn how the human brain thinks and then emulate it.
Well, it's the same thing going on now.
Yep.
Towers of Babel.
I noticed that. Yeah. Yeah. We say Babel over here.
We say Babel. Babel. All right.
You know what's odd? What? The word Babel, like if you babble on, B-A-B-B-L-E. Babylon. Yeah, Babylon. Yeah. But it comes from the tower, like it comes from the story of the Tower of Babel, which is spelled B-A-B-E-L.
And pronounced Babel. Yeah.
Well, however you want to say it, that doesn't matter. But
speaking of Babel,
why is the spelling different?
Are you eating a bagel? Right,
yeah, that's
there?
Right. That's what I was going to say. When we walked in, Christian said, "I something about my bagel." You said bagel.
People always point this out.
There you go. Because it's not pronounced bagel.
I don't know. That's how we said it growing up.
What do you say in the kingdom? Bagel or bagel? Do they have bagels over there?
We didn't until America crammed them down our pie holes. I had never...
Before that, it was just pies.
Yeah. I'd never even heard of a bagel until I came to America.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and everyone's wanking on about them. Oh, bagels. So I have one, and I'm like, this is just bread that hasn't been risen. Like, this is boring.
Well...
And then it's not healthy for you. So why would you have something boring and not healthy?
But it tastes wonderful.
Yeah. It depends what kind of bagel you have.
All right.
It's boring.
So we're talking about bagels or bagels today because we just picked up a new sponsor, El Bagelero on Western Avenue. I popped in before the show and talked to my man Austin over there. I said, Austin, we're over here at the comedy club. He's like, what? Huh? There's a comedy club over there? Yeah. No idea that we were two doors away over here.
Yeah, we're really working hard on the marketing.
You need better signage. You ever think about that?
Or like any, a big neon any signage.
I've been talking about this with you the other day. I'm like, I literally get people who are like, yeah, I think I'm standing in front of it. And I'm like, there's a fucking TV with Lincoln Lodge on it. There's two banners
inside
with Lincoln
the venue.
Lodge on it.
Inside. Yeah.
You know why you can't do signage like that? Because the bloody city rape you. If you're going to have anything hanging over the pavement, that's $3,000 a year.
What about pressed up against the glass? You can do that.
Well, we found a workaround. You know that little wind sail thing?
Yeah, put it on there.
Yeah, we're going to print them up, and then it'll be more visible to people walking.
No charge for that?
No, because it doesn't go past them metal pillars.
This city, they'll get you for everything.
Yep.
Anyway, Austin, I said, hey, we're over there at the Comic Club. I want to bring the guys some bagels. We're always talking about this place because I go by it all the time. And I always say, hey, you been to this Bagelero yet? And nobody had. So he threw in a bunch of bagels, a tub of cream cheese.
That is a lot of cream cheese.
Yeah.
I have gone twice.
Oh, you have?
But they're only open from 11:30 to 12:30 Wednesday through Friday.
Is that right?
It seems to be.
Yeah. Well, nice chap in there, and he said, oh, you're doing a podcast. He goes, well, it's kind of controversial, but I'm a big fan of the number one live podcast every Monday night. And he gave me like a wink, wink. I was like, I felt like, oh, I should know whatever the fuck he's talking about, because I'm doing a comedy podcast. Do you know what the number one?
Probably Rogan.
That's
right?
What I thought, but I didn't say that. I was like, what is it? And he looked at me like I had three heads, like, what? You don't know? You're doing a comedy podcast? It is, do you know, Christian?
I have no idea.
It is, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's the Tony Hinchcliffe
Oh, Kill Tony.
Kill Tony, yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. He's like, Kill Tony. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, he's great. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Brian Laroe was on that, on the Netflix episode that they put out. He's on that one. And he does his best joke he had, and he fucked it up. I've watched it like a dozen times. Brian Laroe's a comic that comes around here. He's also a friend of mine. And he's got this great joke. And I guess, like, he didn't even know he was going to be on this thing, you know, and they just kind of, like, corralled him. You know, they're like, oh, you can just wait in this actual barn. And, he's just back there like, I don't even know if I'm getting on stage or whatever. And then finally they're just like, Brian Laroe, come on. You know, and he just like, he's shoved up there and
fucked it up.
He starts bombing. And then he's like, okay, good thing I have my best joke in my back pocket. And he fucks up. He goes, wait, I mean, aw.
I've heard it's a super douchey.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's awful.
Well, he's MAGA. Yeah. Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah, so, yeah. Right? That's why this guy was like speaking to me in hushed tones. You know?
Yeah,
that's kind of cool that in Chicago you have to hide your MAGA-ness for fear of the mob.
Yeah,
that's kind of a good thing.
Well, yeah, you do. The liberal bubble we're in over here.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to. I said we'll plug the El Bagelero, but we got to talk about the bagel. I had an onion bagel. I've got one little bite left here. You're over there chewing. What is what do you feel about these bagels?
Yeah, I mean they're good texture.
Good texture. Yep. Chewy and chewy. A little crunchy on the outside. Yep. They're not toasted. Are you
Yeah.
Right? It's not toasted.
Toast would be a different experience. I like that they gave us a lot of cream cheese too, because you can't have too much, you know.
Yep.
I like to really slab it on there.
Do you know how bagels are made? Like a true New York,
boiled.
They're boiled.
Yeah,
right. And then there's something else happens to them after that.
I think they're boiled and then baked.
Then they beat the taste out of them.
Yeah, I don't know how you boil a fucking bread.
The place I was telling you about, Manhattan Bagel.
That sounds Irish to me.
Yeah,
are they Irish originally?
No.
You could call them magels.
As magels?
These are magas.
What do you mean,
MAGA bagels?
Oh,
a MAGA bagel.
El Bagelero loves MAGA. He might not have wanted me to say that either, but what were you saying?
We're going to lose that sponsor, too.
Yeah, we're going to lose that sponsor.
Manhattan Bagel, the place I was telling you about before we started recording, where I grew up, they would have the big vat visible. It's like one of those like Krispy Kreme donuts sort of things.
You could see
the whole process happening like behind the counter. Yeah, and it was like this high pressure boiler that they had that they put the dough in, and it just steam flying everywhere. There's an episode of Seinfeld you can watch that references that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I'd seen every episode of Seinfeld.
You can see how everything's done. Kramer gets his job back at the bagel shop after they've been on strike for so long. And then he ends up putting gum in the dough and he gets fired again.
I don't remember that one.
That's the one where Elaine's makeup gets all messed up because she's caught in the steam in there. And then she runs into the guy that she likes, and she can't get her sub card back, which is a punch card, so she can't get a free sub, which I was telling Bill about before the episode. That's what I went to Manhattan Bagel for.
It all came full circle.
Whew.
Right? Everything connected in this universe.
Long one.
All right, so I want to say thanks to Austin, and I wolfed down my onion bagel. It was wonderful. You really shouldn't eat two bagels, but I'm thinking about a second.
There's too many. You'll regret it halfway through. You'll be like, God, fuck, I gotta finish this thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you're gonna take one home to the missus.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of bagel does she like?
She likes the everything ones. What? You know.
I think we got one. Yeah, we got one in there for
her. There is one.
Got a couple jalapenos.
Oh, that's
in
a good
there as
that's
well.
A good one. I wish I saw that.
Yeah. Well, you're not having one because you already had lunch. What was on the menu today?
You know it. Nathan's hot dog, $1.
Oh, you did get the hot dogs
chicken
today?
Chicken dippers, $1.
Oh, you don't usually get chicken dippers, do you?
No, I picked them up thinking it was tots.
Tots?
In the place the tots normally are.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad putting it back. I was like, yeah, you can't really put stuff back. So then I went and got some... The spud fries, you know, from the fryer thing, just to...
You mean the wedges?
Yeah, the wedges, just to give it a bit of potato-iness.
Are those deep fried? They seem like they're baked there.
Everything's bad.
So what were you all in there for? The hot dog, the chicken dippers, and the wedges?
Yep.
How much? What's the total?
That was $3. And then I thought I'll treat myself to a little thing of blue cheese.
And how much was that?
That was
a dollar.
That pushed it to 70 cents, so 3 cents.
Like a little cup of blue cheese?
Yeah, just a...
You have to ask for that? Is it sitting out?
No, it's one of them there's a rack.
You don't just Those are the things you're supposed to steal. You're supposed to just put that in your pocket.
Yeah, it's like they're like oyster crackers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can take those.
No, I mean the nickable stuff is on top of the thing. You know, well, not nick, like little little mustards and little
condiments.
Ketchup.
Well, yeah, somebody that works there won't tell you that you're supposed to steal it, but we all know.
Yeah,
and it's a society that knows that you're supposed to take the blue cheese. You don't. You don't pay for it.
Country's broken.
Yeah, well,
if they weren't charging 70 cents for a little cup of blue cheese, we wouldn't have to steal it, would we?
Yeah.
Ultimately, we all get that cost passed back, though, with shrinkage, as they call it in retail.
Yeah.
Not if you never buy anything.
Right, but you heard what he said about his old boy getting mad if you take stuff, right? Like, you're passing the theft on to the consumer, is what your old boy would say.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So he wouldn't take it.
Yeah, right? Well, you know.
He would get mad about, you know, if someone in the pub offered you a hooky car stereo, right? You know, when car stereo theft was a thing.
Yeah, I get it now.
People would
sell you.
You know, in the pub. Do you want to go out in the car park and look at,
stereo.
I'd say, do you have any blue cheese?
Yeah.
He didn't like that either? He was against all forms of theft.
Yeah.
Crime against the common man, he think.
Yep.
That's right. Well, that was kind of a high-end lunch for you, 370, right? 375. Yeah. Do you have a number in your head that you try to stay at for lunch? Like, knowing, like, as you're eating your ramen noodle and your Snicker bar, you're, like, amortizing that in your head, like, I'm in for 225, so that's probably the right number.
No, it's part of a bigger budget picture that I'm marching to.
Well, that's, you know, why I brought the bagel sticks. I know you're living on thin margins. You're in a period of time where you're really scrimping and saving.
Actually, no, even when I'm at work, I'm doing it as well.
What do you mean? Oh, even when you work? No, I thought there were salad days where you would just spend like a... No?
Nah. No. Dude, if anything... so, you know when you're in a corporate job and someone orders, you know, the lunch for the conference, and then they just dump it all in, like...
You take it.
They just dump it in the cafeteria, the nearest cafeteria area.
Sure.
I would be in there like, whoa. I used to, this will make you laugh, I used to have like a stack of about 8 Tupperware things, you know, the free ones you get at Chinese restaurants. Yes.
You'd have
just
them ready in case
ready to go.
That is bad.
Ready to go.
That is.
If it's Friday afternoon and the vast majority of the office is left, whatever's
you're coming
in
with your Tupperware that you brought from home, empty Tupperware.
Whatever is on that goddamn common area, that's Gary's feast for the weekend.
That's your version of free blue cheese.
Yep.
Well, you're ready for the apocalypse.
Some good high-end stuff, you know what I mean, from that.
Yeah,
people just leave it. They're like, oh, I'm taking that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it's low. It's a low move to...
It's not low.
Box it up with your own Tupperware that you brought from home.
No, it's not low.
Yeah. Seems wrong.
I mean, maybe I'm robbing it from the cleaners who are going to obviously take it.
Your old boy would be fine with that move?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. No, it's going to waste.
Zero food wastage.
Yeah, you don't believe in any waste. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, you texted me last night. You got me all fired up. You got me on the website looking, trying to buy these tickets to my favorite comedian, Beth Stelling.
Oh, yeah.
Is that real? Is she really coming to the
lodge? Yeah, no. For some reason, Deanna deferred them going on sale until the 1st. But I never challenged her. We have never done that in a million years, like scheduled stuff to go on sale at this date. And because I went on after you texted me back, I was like, oh, yeah, let me go see if it's already sold out, and I couldn't find the tickets on our website. So then I had to go into the ticketing thing. I'm like, where the shit is this thing? And then I realized she drafted it and put it to go on sale on the 1st.
Well, it's not even been advertised yet, right?
Nope.
That thing's going to sell out in New York minute.
We still have a chance for tickets then.
Yeah.
Yeah, now if
I know a guy. Do you want me to put you in touch with him?
You do?
Yeah.
Who is it?
This guy.
Kyle Scanlon. Yeah.
Well, I called the guy today and I got the voice, went right to voicemail. So if you want to, this is a Lincoln Lodge, you want to book a show.
Are you really, really going to take your missus?
On
Valentine's night.
Well, first
no
of all,
less.
Yep. I talked to her about it
today.
Man,
she's going to be wearing your bollocks for earrings.
Now listen.
You ain't pulling out of that. No, that nose.
You're
dive.
Confusing. You're confusing these comedians, right? You're thinking of Natasha Leggero, who I said about the sniffing the sheets and everything. That's who she would not go see. I already talked to her about it today. I said, "Hey, you know that Beth Stelling, one of the comedians." Like, who is that? The one? I was like, "No, that's not the one." She said, "Yeah, okay, yeah." She wants to go.
I thought you got in trouble for the Beth Stelling remarks.
No, it was the Natasha Leggero.
Hmm.
I said nothing about Beth Stelling. Nothing at all. I didn't sniff her sheets or anything else. Hey, but if she's going to be here, can we get her in, put her in this seat?
Get her to bring her sheets in.
Yeah, get her to bring her sheets in. Is she going to stay at the condo?
She's got them anyway.
She going to be at the condo?
No, she's in town visiting friends.
How did this all come about?
She said she's doing
the Den?
Wait, don't tell me.
Okay.
On Thursday, and then she just said, "Hey, can I do a lodge thing on Saturday?" And as luck would have it, we were open. So I said, "Yeah, that's fine."
You were open, like you had an open spot.
Yeah. And I said, "We got Friday as well." And she said, "Nah, every time I come into town, I never get to see my friends. It's just biz, biz, biz." So she goes, "I want Friday night. Gals night."
But do you think you could get her in here? Did you tell her we reviewed your special and it was glowing reviews from the whole panel?
Oh, yeah. She said it'd be fun to talk about it, but I didn't really push her on.
Well, come on, man. I think,
Okay. She's going to come in and do a... I know when we can do it. I'm not sure which day she's going to come in and do like a Q&A with the local... the local yokels.
Like the comedians to be like, "Hey, this is what you need to do to get better."
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Not so much that. I was like, well, you know, you've kind of been through the mill of you've done this, you've done that, the other. That's what they really want to know about. And so, she'll be in to do one of them. So we could
double we'll just drag her over here for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be exciting, Christian?
No, I think so. Yeah, for sure. I mean, as soon as I saw the text last night, I was busy working, so I didn't reply. But that was the first thought that came to my mind too. Maybe we have an opportunity, an exciting one at that.
Very exciting.
All right.
Not only did we give her her special glowing reviews, we also I think we both put her in the top three top three specials of the year.
Yeah. All right. You know what I should do is I'll try and dig out one of your old clips for her to watch.
And have her review. Yeah,
counter review.
Yeah, that'd be great. or we could just have her review that Kid Scurry.
I was just about to ask, who is that?
Was she around for the Scurry years?
I don't know.
I don't think
so. I didn't think the Scurry years lasted that long.
They didn't, but...
But that clip was 13 years.
Does he go by two names?
I don't know.
Because I looked at, I did a Google search because I realized you both knew who this was.
Well, actually,
but I have no clue.
I never met the guy. I think.
What?
I gave.
He used to do the lion all the time.
I gave a very successful open mic that I'd spent 2 years building to Bill. I think it maybe lasted 8 to 10 weeks after I handed it to Bill. Was it even that long?
I don't know.
And
it's
foggy.
The details are foggy.
And I think this guy was part of that phase because people used to talk about him, this kid, this guy, and I was like, I have no clue who this is. I mean, I have an encyclopedic memory.
So how did you find this? Where did you come across Kid Scurry's stuff? You were just digging around?
No. I Google Kid Scurry comedy. Boom, there it is.
What had you thinking about Kid Scurry?
Especially because of the name of the special.
Comeback Kid. Oh, and then that's how Kid Scurry was the number one thing that popped up when you typed in Comeback Kid? No.
Yeah.
No.
No, I wasn't thinking. I didn't type Comeback Kid. I just thought it would be funny.
Oh, right. Word Comeback Kid, yes.
And then I was like, Kid Scurry. And then I was like, who was that guy?
Oh, there he is. Did you watch that clip?
Yeah, well, it was about 30
seconds. As much as you could stomach? I don't understand. Did you watch it?
I watched a little bit of it. When I did a Google search this morning to see who this guy was, one of them says Kid Scurry on The Tonight Show, and it's with Jay Leno.
But
they call him Alonzo something, and then he's doing
Alonzo.
That was the bizarrest way of Kevin Bacon associations. So he gets interviewed outside of
I didn't watch the whole
America's
thing.
America's Got Talent or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
by Alonzo Bowden, but he's queuing up in the line, you know, like of people.
Kid Scurry is?
Yeah.
He was trying to get into America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't understand how, like, you put a clip out on the internet, right? Or a special, whatever you want to call this Kid Scurry thing. And you're bombing the entire time, right? Like, he completely bombed. Yeah. I loved it. It was great. And then did you watch the after interview thing? And he's outside the bathroom with the woman. And, oh, my God. You got to watch that. It's unreal. It's unreal. One of the legends of the Chicago comedy scene, Kid Scurry. Available now, his special, I don't know what it's called, but he's live from the Human Experience. Where is that?
Where was that?
Such a weird thing. This is like an open mic and he's bombing.
And it's weird to have the background was the windows of people walking by on the sidewalk.
It reminded me of Jim Maz's The Monkey Bar, right? Where you'd walk at the window.
There's a lot of open mics where you just walking by.
People have been staring in the window. Like, what
the hell's going on over there?
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get him on the show too. Probably easier to get the best.
I literally never met.
I can't believe
this
that.
Guy.
Yeah,
I think he just appeared just as I was transitioning from open mic to pro, as it were.
Yeah, you're a pro. Yeah, you were going the pro route. Left me with the open mic. Left me behind.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
to fall on the sword.
Left you there for about 7 weeks before I get a call from the bar owner, Colin. From the Red Lion.
You know him, Colin?
And he was like, sorry, but I had to kick him out.
What happened?
Well, it's a long story, but on the final night, I thought it'd be fun. There were always people at the bar that weren't there for the comedy show, and they had this back deck. And so there were a bunch of people out there, more people than were in our room to see the comedy.
Surprisingly.
Well, yeah, I wasn't aware that the lights were going out at this point, but I turned the stage and the speakers towards the windows, towards the back porch, the back deck, and just kind of performed to them loudly and like just ruined their evening.
Yeah.
But ultimately what it came down to was the bartender had it out for me there, Danny, big muscly guy. And his sister walked through the audience, unbeknownst to me, and I called her out of her name. She walked by, and I think
I thought you always got on all right. Willie Ames was what.
Willie, he looked like Willie Ames, yeah, this guy. But muscular Willie Ames,
yeah,
from the film Zapped.
Who was the nice bartender, the one with the black hair? Good-looking guy. All the femmes were after him. He was our original bartender.
Yeah, he was great.
And then it got so busy that they brought in Willie Ames.
Yeah.
He was just a steroid case.
Yeah, yeah. He was a jerk.
He was always getting into it.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'd have to get Colin on
Mark,
the show.
I want to say his name was Mark, the other guy.
I can't picture him, but I remember there was another bartender.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. All right.
Fuck.
Show's over. All right. We watched John Mulaney, the comeback kid. It was great. Who are we looking at next week? I get to choose today.
Yeah.
I love it when it comes back around to me. You know, that's all we want.
I can't wait.
Is to be the one to get to pick.
Uh huh. Oh wow! It just hit me that I'm gonna have to wait 2 more weeks now to pick something.
Yeah.
I'm so used to doing it every week.
Yeah, yeah. I know you are. Yeah, I don't know why we ever gave you all that power.
I didn't ask for it.
Well, I do remember because we needed it like an ombudsman, some kind of neutral arbitrator to pick the specials because you were picking one and I was picking one. Wasn't working, but...
I don't think I ever picked one, did I?
Yeah, I think you did. Well, I don't know.
So
it was just me picking?
I'm pretty much sure, yeah, because we were concerned that, you know, it was just all white males that you were picking.
Yeah. No, I don't think that was a concern.
That was big in the discussion board.
Yeah, I know. They were talking about that. We had to bring in the DEI crew, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, I think we've covered that. All right, before we get into John Mulaney, I am very excited to talk about the special today. I want to, speaking of sponsors, we got El Bagalero's, our new sponsor. But I'd like to welcome back an old sponsor. Begain Construction has agreed to come back on as a sponsor. I met with the owner.
The comeback splash kit.
The comeback splash kit. Now listen, part of the agreement of them coming back as a sponsor, we're not talking about the backsplashes.
Oh, I see. He doesn't do backsplashes.
Not anymore. Now, listen, the backstory on it was when he was starting his company and starting out, he was known in Chicago as the backsplash guy. He would put on a backsplash and the best backsplashes in the city. But he grew out of that. His business grew out of that. Now he only does high-end homes, very high-end
homes. What
does
he do to them?
He remodels them. He'll rebuild a home, or he'll build you a home from scratch, Bill Begain. All right. Included in that, I imagine, is a backsplash, but he's not coming in to just do backsplashes.
What does a remodel do to a high-end home?
They come in and they...
gut it, open concepts.
Knock shit down.
They knock shit down. They bring in all the high-end appliances.
Have you ever seen the clip, you know that show that they do this, they'll just like redo somebody's home for them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Have you ever seen the clip of when it went terribly wrong and the couple, the woman started
crying? They
hated
it? Yeah. I think I've heard about it.
They walk away.
Yeah. They come in and they read it. I'm like, what? No, I don't like it.
The husband was pissed.
That's great.
Oh, it's so funny.
So anyway, I want to welcome him back. If you want a high-end home, you want to have it redone, we're talking millions of dollars, the homes he does.
Oh.
If you have that kind of money and you want a new home with Wolf appliances, Sub-Zero, Viking, nice oriental rugs.
Amana.
He'll even he'll decorate it too.
You want an Amana Frigidaire. Well, he'll bring in the decorators.
Interior decorators.
Soup to nuts. Yeah. He'll bring in all the best people. Begain Construction for all your high-end home needs, including... I'm not going to say it.
What? Including what? Come on.
Including a backsplash. But that's not what he does. He doesn't just do a backsplash. Yeah.
But he can.
He can.
And it's probably really nice.
Yeah. Do you have a backsplash? You probably have a backsplash.
I built up.
You did your backsplash?
You know what? I don't, actually.
You don't? Oh, my God. It makes a huge difference.
I know. Yeah. I used
to...
My uncle used to own a carpentry company, and I built plenty of backsplashes with him.
You did?
Yeah, and I don't have any in my home.
Well, backsplash is just tiling, though.
Yeah, it's a building. Do you know what a backsplash is?
They can be tiling, and they can also be made of wood. And
I don't think you'd want wood splashing on it.
And you put formica on it.
Formica?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is
that's
waterproof.
That's not high-end, though, is it? No, we did splashboard.
We did the cookie cutter homes that they were putting up in the suburbs, just like, you know, throwing up homes.
Oh, okay.
And you trace, because the walls are all warped, so you have to go first and trace where, and then you have to build the countertop to fit that, and then you build the backsplash and you install it the next day.
Yeah.
You won't catch formica in the hands of Begain.
No, they don't work with formica or wood backsplash or anything like that.
Yeah, these were
high end.
These were set it
Corinthian
up
tiles. you did your own backsplash? I believe that. You're very handy. Yeah.
Yeah, my missus was like, that was a fashion statement to me, but so I was like, yeah, sure, it's just a bit of tiling and slap that
grouting,
on. And then I will say I did the backsplashes here because the toilets were really starting to, you know.
Toilets.
They were starting to splash.
Wait a minute. You have a backsplash on the toilet?
No. The toilet.
Oh, you did the tiles in the...
In England, toilet means the whole bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, in the toilet. In the whole bathroom. Right. I didn't notice the backsplash on there. I'll have to check that out.
Although I did. I did very good job of that, and then I made a terrible job of the piss splash that we put in the men's, which haunts me.
Really?
Has haunted me since we did it.
What's going on with the piss splash?
It's terrible.
I did the grouting on it. I think it looks great.
You've got a normal toilet in there, though, right?
We got one of the stand against.
Oh, you got a urinal?
Yeah. And there was just piss splashes all over the wall.
There is also a toilet in the toilet.
Yeah. So there's a urinal and a toilet next to it?
Yeah.
So I don't understand that, right? When you're in a bathroom, there's a urinal and a toilet, but it's a one-person bathroom. Right.
Well, this is a two-person bathroom.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, so many bathrooms.
It's all like ADA rules.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right, we'll have to check out that piss splash. Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing. I've got a picture of it in my phone. I look at it sometimes.
Send me that. Send me that. I want to see that. I'll send it to my man Bill Begain, see if it's up to code. That piss splash.
Yeah.
I don't think he puts in piss splashes in a high-end home. You don't need a piss splash. He puts in bidets, high-end bidets.
A shit splash.
Yeah. Anus splasher. Anal splash.
You would think you would want a splash on the back of a bidet because if, if the jet
Yeah, you would,
hits,
right? Yeah, I would think there'd be a lot of splash, a lot of residual splash from the bidet.
Yeah.
You if you get it wrong.
Yeah, if you miss.
Get a Bagain bidet today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We actually have him in here. We have him in here.
Is this a real guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, listen, I'm not. This isn't a made up thing. This is guy does high end homes.
This isn't made up. Come on.
This is real high end homes. He's got a crew. He got he employs hundreds of guys.
But guys.
It'd be awkward though, because
yeah, it would be
because of my smugness.
Why? He didn't say anything about your smugness.
I thought he was the one who said I was.
No, that was Swifty.
Oh right, okay.
Another guy. All Swifty right. said that. Said you were smug.
All right.
Who's Swifty?
I don't know. From someone from the discussion board. That's his handle, Swifty. from the discussion board. All right.
Let's so we're 50 minutes in.
Let's go.
It's been an hour and a half.
Let's go. Okay. John Mulaney, the comeback kid, 2015, chosen by Christian, who we know is on record of loving Mike Birbiglia. This is one of Birbiglia's buddies. He's from the Northeast Prep School comedy set. Oh, actually, no, he's from Chicago, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But he did go to St. Ignatius High School here in Chicago. Why did you choose Mr. Mulaney? Which you called all week John Delaney.
Yeah, I was referencing because I messed up his name last week on the podcast. So it was a callback to that.
Oh, you were being silly.
Right. That's why I sent the the fish and the hook because
Even get that. Yeah. I don't get anything. So dim.
It's a special that I have watched probably over a dozen times. One of three
what?
That I've watched as many times as I have. It's one of my favorites, and that's why I picked it.
Who's ever watched a comedy special a dozen times?
Me.
Wow. You love comedy. You work in a comedy club. You watch comedy. See, when we started this idea, it was because we didn't watch comedy, right?
But didn't like
all the
anymore.
While, this guy's been watching everything.
The most I've watched anything is probably Bill Hicks a bunch of times. But I think I can't think of anything I ever watched. Did you ever watch like Delirious Eddie Murphy or Raw, like a shitload?
I don't watch things over and over in general.
I am a watch things over and over guy, but not stand-up comedy.
Yeah, like what do you watch over and over?
You know, like Woody Allen films and Gremlins and just comfort movies.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I watch things annually, like we'll watch It's a Wonderful Life, but I've never, loved something so much where I ever watch it again. In fact, if I love something, I generally don't watch it again because I just want to love it that way. I'm afraid if I watch it again, I won't love it as much.
You can go back and it's not as good. I remember that with Donnie Darko.
Mm.
Mind-blowing the first time, second time.
Shite. Mm.
And then Bottle Rocket. That's another classic.
Yeah, I've not rewatched that, but I kind of liked it the first time.
Yep.
All right, so you're a huge fan. I don't want to,
say I'm a huge fan of John Mulaney. I would say I'm a huge fan of this special. It's sort of like watching the movie Fargo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like every scene you're like, oh, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to watch this. This scene. I remember this one. Oh, I'll stay for 5 more minutes. You know, that's how this special is to me. It's like, oh, this part. I'm going to watch this part. So I've watched it so many times, either just showing somebody one clip and then staying around for the entire thing. Or it just kind of puts me in a good mood.
Tremors. That's Tremors. Another one.
With Fred Ward?
Yeah, where you're Kevin Bacon? You're like, oh, it's on again. Yeah, I'll just watch this bit. I just watched the next bit. Yeah.
So I imagine you've seen his other specials. If you love this one, you probably went back to see if you could, fall in love again with his other ones.
I have watched one other special, and it didn't bring the same. It didn't bring the same heat that this one did. So I just stopped there.
Mm. Okay. Had you seen much of John Mulaney?
I mean, literally, only time I've seen him is when he's been physically in the Lincoln Lodge.
Oh, he's been in here.
Not this place.
The old one?
The older places.
He was in the old one? I guess he probably would have been, right? Because if he was...
A couple of times.
What was his... I don't remember. He's younger than me, so he probably came after me, right? Yeah. In the scene.
I don't think he did Chicago that much. I think he was like such a... out of the box amazing writer. I think he buggered off to New York. Like, he mentions it. Like, he was there when he was 22. He mentions like a temp job.
Yeah.
In New York. I don't remember him ever in the Chicago scene.
So when you did see him here, he had come back and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was already a thing at that point. He was a mega star, but he was a thing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I went to type in. I knew this because you'd said it was on Netflix. So I went to Netflix and I typed in John, right? And then five or six of his specials. Like, he's got a lot of specials. Mm-hmm. Was this the first?
No. Big one? Maybe the first big one.
All the other ones probably. This is 10 years ago or 11 years ago.
Before it.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was as made as big of an impact as this one. I think this was when he hit his stride.
He hit a home run with this
one. Huh. Because when I saw the title, I thought, oh, this must have been the one after the intervention, after the meltdown.
You would think so.
Blah, 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 but it ain't.
Well, yeah, I did want to talk about that, but when you say the intervention, he had a drug problem in 2020 or something like that, so around that time?
Something
around
like
COVID-ish time?
Around the time his first marriage ended, right?
Oh, yeah. What was that? So I don't know, do we want to go into all that?
We can.
But you said the incident. There was an incident?
No, it wasn't an incident.
What did you just say? He said something like
meltdown. Intervention.
He said, but he said like a meltdown. Did he have like a meltdown on stage or a public meltdown of some kind?
Oh, no, okay.
I don't think he said meltdown.
I think he just went into rehab and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
He's in rehab? He's Mr. Normal.
He looks so squeaky clean.
Yeah, he does, right. Yeah.
But it's funny because one of the times I saw him live was Hannibal Buress did this impromptu show as he was apt to do. And it was at Beat Kitchen, and this show had Hannibal Buress, Amy Schumer,
what?
John Mulaney, and fucking Drew Michael, and someone else. And he just announced it. It was like the day before Thanksgiving, or you know.
All these people were big already.
Oh yeah, this is and you're like, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when the last time I saw him live. But after the show, because I knew the Beat Kitchen guy, I said, oh, can we just go upstairs? And Heather wanted a picture taken with Mulaney because her niece is a big Mulaney fan. And what was funny is Mulaney had just come from a late mass with his family.
Oh, yeah.
The Catholic
midnight
bullshit.
Mass?
Yeah. So,
well,
maybe
so it was Christmas, maybe.
Christmas Eve, maybe. Yeah.
And all these people were here for the holidays, probably. Yeah. He just threw it together.
Like, Schumann was dating this Chicago guy and blah, blah, blah. So they were all here. This mega star lineup.
Yeah. The Beat Kitchen. That's across the street from my house. It's right there.
So I said, I asked the bloke, hey, can we go upstairs? Helen's picture taken. Blah, blah, blah. And so we go up. And I just said, hey, John, can my missus just have a picture with you? Just because her niece is a huge fan of yours and stuff. And he's smoking a fag.
Yeah.
A cigarette, sure, as you would say in America. And he goes, oh, hang on. I have to hide it behind my back in case my mum would see this picture.
Wow.
Literally hiding the fact that he smoked from like any public thing, and he just come from midnight mass or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's how squeaky.
So he was cool about it. He was cool. I thought you were
gonna
say he told you to fuck off.
No. He just hid this. He just hid it behind it. It's like,
when was this? Like around the time of this?
Now you're asking.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, it's at least 10 years.
Yeah. So it would be right around this time. I always had heard about him. I didn't really know about him. I don't know if I saw this special, but I did see one special and liked it. And I'm always saying, like, this was shot at the Chicago Theater. You're like, no, it's the Vic. Well, this actually was the Chicago Theater. Wasn't it cool as it starts off, like, seeing the bowels of the Chicago Theater, wherever he comes out of, and you see all the names on the wall of people then, like, Prince?
That.
Why? No, I don't.
Gratuitous.
I know, it's cliche to do that at this point. I'm just saying, like, to think of all the people that have performed the Chicago Theater and their names are graffitied on the wall. He's a Smokey Robinson, Prince, like, that's cool.
I was talking to Sam Biru not too long ago. He performed at the Chicago Theater, and he said, he's like, they told me to write my name on the wall, and I'm about to, and I'm looking, and Michelle Obama's name is there, and I'm like, should I really be writing my name? I don't think I should be doing this.
Yeah,
but
the names
okay.
around that wall are incredible. Yeah. Is Chicago Theater our greatest venue?
Kevin Bozeman. Depends. Kevin Bozeman was telling me there was a time when he was, said he was growing up. That thing was on its ass.
Oh, really?
He said it used to. They used to show like shitty karate movies on
really?
Cinema. Yeah, he goes, that's how I remember going to the Chicago Theater when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, now it.
I do like that history behind theaters. You know, like they all have.
They're dark.
Like if you go, up the road and you've got the, what's it? What is it?
Congress.
Congress.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, like the theater in 12 Monkeys right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it had its glory day and it might have it again. You never know. And they all have that roller coaster history that I like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least now, Chicago Theater, I would say, is if you were a big performer, music or comedy or whatever, that's where you're going to go, I would think, right?
Yeah,
where else?
That's certainly. Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm only saying it depends because, you know, sometimes you want like a more intimate space for some shows.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But if you're going to blow it out and have your big special,
I think
or whatever,
that's
that would
the
be
one.
The place.
Yeah, that's the Acme.
Yeah. All right. Well. He comes out. He's squeaky clean. He's got the suit. I want to not like him, just the way he looks.
He addresses that almost right away, too, doesn't he?
Right? Yeah. So if you're just looking at him for the first time, he's like, I want to hate this guy, right? What did you think of that first bit he does with the happy birthday?
Yeah, sign, I just put, I put great opening bit.
You like that one? That was good, yeah.
He got a standing ovation on his... entrance to the stage as well, which
don't they all
rub me? No, that rubbed me up the wrong way.
Well, I think that has something to do with him being from Chicago. You know, he's probably there's probably a lot of Chicago people that are just happy for him because he's, you know, a local guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My missus, you know, came in midway and you know didn't know a lot about him. Starts look. She always is looking people, looking things up. Like you can't watch anything or talk about anything without her looking everything
issue.
Up. You do that too, right?
Yeah.
You talked about that. He went to Ignatius, but he also went to St. Clement, not far from here, St. Clement Catholic School.
He's a Catholic elitist.
He is, yeah. So I like that about him, because I'm very Catholic. It seemed like there were lots of Catholics in the audience. Did you notice that? Like, because when he did, he talked about that, you know, how they changed the Catholic Mass, to those few words, those small changes they made to the words. He held the mic out, and they all—it was like a, you know, almost everybody.
Yeah,
in unison, everybody knew those words. All right, so there's a couple bits in here. I'm just going to start throwing it all on the table. There's a couple bits in here that I think are maybe the best bits I've ever heard in my life. Right, like about that first bit about the cow and the wife and the buying the cow. Like I've kind of heard that joke before, right? Like why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free? I've heard that so many times, but yet the way he did it and then extended it out to talk about the wedding and like the other cow getting married and, you know, mooing. Going to the sale and not wanting, you know, to be at the
lots
sale.
Lots of metaphors.
The metaphor, the analogy there was incredible, right? Like, as much as I want to hate him just based on his look... And kind of the way he talks, right? In his voice, the writing is incredible. And when we watch these comedians, like you can tell the ones who are bad writers or not great writers because they don't really have anything. They're just being themselves and funny and just hemming and hawing. And like Sam Kinison, he had hardly any material in that special, right? But this guy's got so much. He's such a great writer. He doesn't have time to can mug it up or goof around. He's got to get through all these jokes because they're gold, right? Like he's really got to stick to the script and get through all these jokes because they're so good. I just found the writing unbelievable. And you got to wonder how much of his writing was Saturday Night Live during the years that he was there coming through on the screen, right? He had to be the best writer at Saturday Night Live, I would think. Right?
I don't know. I think sketch and stand-up are different... disciplines for writing.
I mean,
I would think someone who understands the disciplines can write for either, but
funny ideas are funny ideas.
That'd be a fun homework assignment to find out which sketches he wrote on Saturday Night Live and give him a peep.
I wonder if the big ones come off of him. But he was never really a performer on Saturday Night Live, or was he at all?
I don't think I ever saw him on the show.
But you could see him being on the show, right? Like, he would have been good. You can play that straight guy that the...
He's a good enough performer. He's you can see some of his acting chops in his stand-up, I think, you know?
His Achilles heel to me was I really didn't like the freneticness and the pacing, which I had not seen him. The few times I have seen him live in the room, there wasn't that pacing, there wasn't that frenetic energy of it, which is weird to me.
Frenetic? I see. And I'm
relentless
usually,
pacing backwards.
Oh, you just
forwards.
Mean the walking back and forth? Not the pacing of his jokes, but the pacing of his steps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that. I didn't feel like as tight as it was, right? That it was forced or frenetic or like he was like didn't give people room to breathe or laugh. You felt like it was too fast?
Yeah, because he's so good. That's the irony of a really good comedian. They have to slow down. The better you are, the more you got to slow it down.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving me any time here. If you're a sort of reasonably good comedian, your punchlines are so far apart that I can breathe anyway, even if you're talking. But with like a master craftsman like this guy, you got to give me some gaps, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the spacing in the gaps were enough for me, right? Mm. I actually like the pacing of it. And I'm not someone who likes, you know, fast-paced, quick fire, rapid fire comedy. Never seemed that way to me. And I guess when you like somebody, you don't care. Right, like you could deliver it any kind of way, and you kind of lose your bias, right? Like,
you know, maybe that's why I've watched it so many times. I'm just realizing that maybe because there's just so much packed in there,
yeah.
I still get something out of it every time I rewatch it.
A couple times, and this has almost never happened when we watch these specials. When I take notes, I stopped the show. Just so I could get my notes down and I wouldn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm just going to stop here so I can write this down, and then because I don't want to miss a single joke. So, yeah, I guess, like, yeah, there is a lot there. And I remember watching and thinking, like, yeah, I you would want to rewatch this to get everything, right? Just to see it, you know, make sure you caught everything.
I mean, his subject matter is all the, you know, grist for the mill, run of the usual stuff.
Yeah. Well, the themes, marriage, parents, childhood, are, but like that Back to the Future joke was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was fucking unbelievable.
That was the bit I didn't like.
Really? What didn't you like about it?
I was like, it's the old analyze a movie and show it's ridiculous. Now, I know, yeah, he's doing it better than everyone else, but that's a trope, you know, to take a movie, isolate. It's like for a while people were doing it with rap songs and lyrics as well.
Oh, yeah, slow
like,
down.
Isolate like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Take any movie, I could do that.
Yeah, but like I never, like we've, that is such a part of the fabric, right, that movie. Everybody's seen it, right?
Yeah.
And never had given thought to the fact that like this guy, this kid and this old fucking disgraced physicists or friends, like how is this, right? And he's right, it's not even lazily explained in the film, right? They don't even touch it.
Who gives a shit? That's not something you can get round up about, is it?
No, but then you go into the pit, he takes you inside the pitch room. I thought it was great.
It's almost like a sketch, you know? That's almost
yeah,
like something
that would be a great right, sketch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the breakaway to The Fugitive too. I don't want to blow past that. I just remembered
that was great.
I love that.
Yeah,
I did like that because that was woven and it came out of the side.
Right. Yeah, well delivered.
What was your favorite joke of all the jokes or bit or
a
segment?
I have a thing and it says TV bit stolen from me. What was the?
Well, he talked about like being a kid and he wasn't allowed to watch TV during the week.
That happened
to me. His dad
would
come in and he'd turn it off.
That happened to me.
Oh, that was so good.
I had an old black and white TV. One night, I was like, Dad, can I watch the Speedway? No, you got school tomorrow.
Yeah.
Turned the thing on with no sound, sat there. As soon as I heard the things coming up the stairs, turned the TV off. But those old black and whites, they had a little glowing dot.
Yeah.
And I'm busted.
He saw it, yeah.
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 And he walks in. He came up to say, you can come down, you can watch it.
That he knew you were watching.
And then he busted me and he's like, I was going to let you do it. Now you're busted, you little bastard. You're staying up here now.
Yeah, it used to be the test was you just put your hand on it. If it was warm, you knew that somebody was watching it. But him describing it is like, there was still like a little fizz or like a Pepsi.
Like
it would make a little sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. My favorite joke. What was your favorite joke?
You know what? It's so funny. Yeah, but I got to say, what really hooked me the first time was the happy birthday joke. It was the
first one, yeah?
Yeah, and I've just thought of that so many times in life whenever, you know, preparing for something. It's just been so relevant so many times. I wouldn't even say it's the best joke, but it's got to be my favorite because that's if it hadn't been for that opening, I probably wouldn't have ever watched the special.
Yeah, it is a great opener. It's a great joke. For me, it was... God, that McDonald's joke, right? Where with the kids in the car, the minivan. Yeah.
One black coffee.
Yeah, the McDonald's.
That's an anecdote, not a joke.
Whatever. My wife walked in and I was like belly laughing so hard. Uh-huh. She's like, what are you doing in here?
And it's also, I mean, it's an anecdote, but it's also kind of a setup. Like he's building this character for later on when he's talking about his dad. So you're getting an idea of who this guy is.
Yeah.
And there's a callback to the black coffee thing too. It's necessary.
But right. So like, because you've watched this so many times, this is brilliant on so many levels, right? It's so well written. It's so well woven together. You've got callbacks. It's personal. It's old tropes and grist for the mill, but done better. It's storytelling. It's jokes. It's everything.
Yep.
It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think about the closer though? The Bill Clinton.
The Bill
story.
Clinton story. Yeah. You know, that's tough. I think like you have to have. I wonder how, I mean, I know what I think about it, but I wonder what somebody 20 years younger than me would think about it. You know, having not lived through that and experienced, knowing who Bill Clinton was, I guess is, but.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a soft spot in the show, I think that's, for me, it's that one that wasn't.
I don't remember anyone calling him the comeback kid. That's what he was.
He said
time.
Bill Clinton was called the comeback kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I guess we came back from a bunch of different scandals, right?
Like the Monica Lewinsky. Kept surviving.
Yeah, he kept coming back.
Ongoing to this day.
Yeah, right. I didn't think that was, you know, his best joke. But I think it does serve its purpose in terms of tying it all together, right? Tying together his folks and being a kid and, I thought that was good. Not his best, but. Very good.
I think his best bit was the marijuana delivery.
Yeah.
The Chinese delivery marijuana guy sort of.
You don't ask him to stay around.
Right. You don't give him some of the Chinese food.
Yeah.
That was great. I also love the real estate agent one, right? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Real estate agent showing him the houses and like, you might want to have a baby. It's a garbage can on fire. Could be a nursery. Could be a nursery if you want. It was great. It was great. Well, I don't want to be hyperbolic here saying this, but
hyperbolics.
Hyperbolics. That'd be a good name for the show. Hyperbolics. British talk. This might be, in my opinion, the greatest stand-up special of all time. I'm going to put it out there with them. I don't know if it is the best, but I would say it's in the top five greatest stand-up specials I've ever seen. There it is.
Boing. we save that till the end.
I don't have that.
You don't have the spring over there. Here. Yeah, I've got the gong on my side over here.
And now I am so excited, and I hope you'll join me for this summer, July 22nd.
Oh, yeah.
Wrigley Field,
mm-hmm.
John Mulaney live in front of 40,000 people, maybe more, performing.
I would invite people, rather than spending $200 plus on one night's entertainment, to maybe visit their small local independent comedy shows and spread that wealth to people who maybe need it more than someone who is already a multi-millionaire. But that's just me. I'm a communist.
Are the tickets $200?
I don't... probably 100 a piece.
Yeah, easily.
I got early access as a
plus
Cubs
parking
season.
Plus no, concessions. Don't worry about that.
You don't park there.
You don't park. You walk
on over.
Well, oh yeah, all 40,000 people are going to be walking to that stadium. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying everybody's going.
But listen, it's a historic thing. It's the first time comedy's ever been performed at Wrigley Field. That's cool. If you know.
So now it's over three.
Okay, now it's recording again.
I
don't know where we stopped. I don't know if we got your Kama Sutra stuff in there or not.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the art of the Kama Sutra.
Yeah.
The best bit I'm revising was the, and also with you, when he's like, it just sounds like the priest said, I wish you peace. And it was like, and also you.
You thought that was the best bit?
Yeah, because it was mocking Catholicism.
Oh, yeah. You love anything mocks Catholicism.
Yep.
You know what else is a great bit, since we're continuing to go here? When he says the hobo brings him back to the house and says, this kid bit my dick.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to know?
He's got a
right?
Why this man's dick was next to my biter's? Isn't anybody curious?
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're giving it how many bowls of soup in the lap?
I'm giving it only 4 out of 5. Which I know you're going to throw your toys out of the pram.
Toys out of the pram again.
Because the freneticness was grating on me. I didn't like the long-ass tracking shot of the Chicago skyline and or the Chicago theater. I just felt like if you're that good of a comedian, you don't need all this shit. You are the bit. So it's a couple of little flaws. That's all.
That's nitpicking.
No,
just
it's not nitpicking.
To give me the business.
It's not. No, I know you're going to say, oh, well, you're just doing it to do it. But I'm not. I genuinely felt at the end of it like there was just a little thing that I wasn't locked in on.
Well, criminy, we don't need to hear what this guy thinks. He picked it and he's watched it 75 times.
Yes, you know what I think. It gets the highest marks that it could.
Now
it can. I give it 5 commas out of 5 sutras.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, you got my attention. Now, let me ask you this, because I went on record here. Would you say that this is the greatest comedy special you've ever seen? There should be a certificate for that. I may give you a certificate saying you chose the best comedy special I've ever seen.
That's tough, because the other two that I've watched dozens of times are also the best comedy special I've ever seen, but for different reasons.
What are those?
If I were on a desert island rest of my life, this one would be the one.
So that's all, then it is.
In the context of the vast listenership of this podcast, they want to know, is this now officially the best one we've ever done?
How do we determine that?
Well, basically,
the three of us think it. So
no,
you're
no,
getting
no.
14 out of 15.
No, no,
stars.
Majoritative. So it's majoritative. So if you two, I think right now it's Stuart Lee. Basically, it has the crown, right? If two of the three say this is the new number one, that's a majoritative new number one.
This is King of the Mountain.
I have to watch the Stuart Lee one.
I like that.
Another time before I can make that call.
Stuart Lee, basically. Oh, so you're not going to make the call?
I don't think it's appropriate right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to push it, so it's down to you two saying.
Well, I think
yes.
It is. I think this is the best special I've ever seen.
I mean, we know what I think about this special. So if I were to have to right now, gun to my head, pick it. Yes, this is the best.
Then it is. And if all things are equal here and it's a tie goes to the American. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It isn't a tie. You're pushing it.
I'm not saying it's a tie. For me, it isn't. It's not even close. No, Stuart Lee eats John Mulaney's shit for breakfast.
There's no tie. He is now number one. Mulaney is now number one.
Mulaney's the number one.
Yeah.
Because we say so, even though you don't.
Yeah.
Yep.
Majority rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a majorative. You said majorative. I don't think that's a word. All right. Well, I don't think we'll usurp or unseat the King of the Mountain next week when we watch as is my pick. You ready for this? That's pretty good. Marcelo Hernandez, American Boy.
Okay.
Just recently released on Netflix. I was watching something. You know how something ends on Netflix and then something else immediately starts? Well, this immediately started, and I caught myself watching the first couple minutes of it. And I won't say anything what I felt positively or negatively, but I enjoy this young man on Saturday Night Live. I think he's a rising talent. I don't know him to be a stand-up, but he has a stand-up special. It could go the way of Brett Goldstein.
All right.
But all right, we'll find out. Marcelo Hernandez,
okay.
American Boy.
Outro.
What's the Takashi, hit the gong.